Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke 6, 38. We are continuing this morning the subject we began last Sunday morning on financial freedom. Last Sunday morning, we looked at the first part of the verse, and this time we'll look at the second part of the verse. Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." Father, we thank you that you have given to us the Holy Scriptures that we might be a people taught of God. We know that your ways are good. Teach us at this time, we pray, that we might walk in them and be pleasing to you, and that our steps might be enjoyable to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Financial freedom. Last week we dealt with the first step to financial freedom, and that is giving. God says, "You prime the pump." Today we'll deal with the second step in financial freedom, which is receiving. And we like this better, don't we? Even though God says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive," somehow or other, it's fun to receive. And this verse is a beautiful one. Don't we love this one? "It shall be given unto you good measure." What does it mean, good measure? Well, in those days, they didn't have standardized weights and measures like we do today, theoretically. And a man who was selling grain, buying and selling grain, would have two bushel baskets. He'd have a big bushel basket and a little bushel basket. And he used the big bushel basket for buying, and he used the little bushel basket for selling. And God says, "When I pour out my blessing on you, it's going to be a good measure, a faithful, honest, true measure. I won't use a little one, that you'll think you're getting 15 bushels and you only got 12. It's going to be a full size measure. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together." It always disturbs me. I open up that box of cornflakes, it's half full, and they say some settling will happen in the process of shipping. And I just hope it really settled that much. But sometimes I wonder, and God says, "When I give to you, it's going to be good measure, pressed down and shaken together." In other words, I'm going to do all the shaking first. Then I'm going to give it to you. So that you don't find on your way home, you're down to a half a bushel again. "And running over, shall men give into your bosom." And we read that verse and say, "Isn't that a beautiful verse? Load it on, Lord, load it on." We just love to receive. This is a good verse. There's a caution that we need to look at. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22, the Lord says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it." Now, what God is telling us here is that there are two kinds of receiving. There is that receiving, which is the blessing of the Lord, and it maketh rich. It's real blessing. But there is receiving that brings with it sorrow. And we have to be careful about that. And so we'd like to, first of all, divide our thoughts into two categories: improper receiving, we'll deal with briefly, and then proper receiving. What is this receiving that brings sorrow with it that we really don't want. And we just want to mention a few of these so that you might be aware of this, and we're not going to go into depth in these. Improper receiving. One of them, for example, might be unjust practices. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. We are told, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them alike are an abomination unto the Lord." And we already spoke of this, a big basket for buying and a little basket for selling. Or two different weights. A pound weight to put on the scale that is 15 ounces and one that's 17 ounces. And God says these are an abomination unto Him, and those that receive by means of diverse weights and diverse measures will find that they will be receiving with great sorrow. Sorrow will be added to it. Now, they'll receive. God will let them get away with it. But sorrow will be added to it. Greedy attitudes. Proverbs 20 and verse 14. "Bad, bad," says the buyer. But when he goes his way, he boasts. And so he comes. Here's a man selling grain. He looks at that grain and says, "Where did you get that grain? Why, don't you see that, you know, there are green kernels through here, and this one even looks a little musty, and you know, you really can't expect a good price out of this kind of product. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take it off your hands for half price. In spite of what it is, I'll give you half price for it anyway." Boy, I didn't realize it was that bad, and I suppose, you know, I better get what I can out of it. So, okay. So he sells it to him. So the man gets all of his grain. You know, they poured it into the, pull up their front of their cloak and poured it into it. So he walks towards home, and he gets toward home, runs into a neighbor, and the neighbor says, "What you got there?" And he says, "I bought some grain. Pretty nice looking grain, isn't it?" And the neighbor says, "Yeah, that's top quality, isn't it? Oh, I don't know when I've seen nice, fresh, ripe heads like that. That's beautiful." "Yeah," he says, "I recognize it right away as top quality." Guess what? Got for half price. Half price. God says that will bring sorrow with it. False hopes. Proverbs 28:22. "He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." False hopes. And this is the area where all of these get-rich-quick schemes come in. And people fall for these get-rich-quick schemes because they have these unjust false hopes. And God says this is improper receiving. And even if you did make out on something, God says there will be sorrow. But most of the time with these schemes, you end up with less than before. And God says there will be sorrow with this. Another area is that of borrowing. It brings bondage, presumes on the future, and it will bring sorrow with it. And so just a few of these areas in which there's improper receiving. But we want to deal precisely this morning in the positive area, that of proper receiving. God says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Now, how does God do that? How does God then give unto us? Well, first of all, God gives to us through diligent labor. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, God said to Adam and to Eve, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." In other words, God's primary way of giving to us, of enabling us to receive, is through diligent labor. Sometimes it's been said hard work won't kill you, but worry will. And so we're told not to worry. Not to worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But we're told to work. And that's good for us. And by the sweat of our brow, we are to earn our bread. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, one of the characteristics of the gifts of the Spirit is diligent in labor, and we are all to learn how to fulfill all of the gifts, and one of them is diligent in labor. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Here we have a contrast between the improper receiving and the proper receiving. As Paul says to the Ephesians, let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor with his hands that he may have wherewith to give to those that have need. Improper receiving, let him that stole steal no more. Proper receiving, let him work with his hands to be able to give then to those that have need. Diligent labor. Paul says to the Thessalonians, who apparently decided they liked this idea of Christ coming back again, and they'd just sit around and wait for him. In the meantime, they'd eat somebody else's food. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says, I just want to remind you what I told you while I was there, that if any man will not work, neither shall he eat. Don't give him anything to eat. You know the best cure for laziness? Hunger. You get hungry enough, and you decide that it's even worthwhile to work. And Paul says, don't give him anything to eat. Make him work. That's why in our day the task of government is not welfare. The task of government is not even to provide jobs. The task of government is to provide the economic climate whereby industry and business can provide jobs so that people can work. That's the role of government. And so, diligent labor. Proverbs 28:19 says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Diligent labor. I think one of the best examples in the Bible is Joseph. As Joseph was taken slave down into Egypt, taken into Potiphar's house, he was diligent in his labor. Now, he could have said, no future in this job. I'm just a slave. All he's giving me is my food, place to sleep and my food. I'll get the same place to eat and the same food if I work hard or if I don't work hard. Oh, I'll put in my time and I'll do what I have to and sneak out a snooze whenever I can get away from the boss. And because this job has no future to it. Not what Joseph said. Joseph was determined he was going to do his very best at that menial job of servitude. He said, yeah, what did it get him? Thrown into prison. Yep, thrown into prison. That didn't pay off, did it? Or did it? Did Joseph learn valuable lessons of diligent labor that he needed to know? How to do some managing? He managed the household of that Egyptian. He learned some beautiful lessons on management. And he was thrown into prison. Certainly no future in that job. He became volunteer labor, helping the man in charge of the prison until finally he was in charge of the prison under this man, of course, doing all his work. Here the jailer was getting the pay, and Joseph was doing all the work. He said, that's not fair. That's not right. What are you doing that for, Joseph? You're in prison. You're a prisoner. You can just sit there and sleep all day if you want to. You don't have to do anything. But he worked. He worked hard. He was faithful. And he learned a lot more about how to use his time to please God And God put him over the entire nation of Egypt. Now, the jobs were not related. He wasn't promoted in each place till finally he was put over Egypt. They weren't even related. And so as we are faithful to God in an area that looks like it has no future even, but we know God has put us there. God's made this available. By the sweat of your brow, and this is where my brow is going to sweat. But it's going to be for God. Even though it isn't even related in any way, God will bless you. Diligent labor. And so as we build a record of faithfulness at whatever job God gives to us, He will bless. This is our Christian testimony in South America. It was always very interesting. The same Jews and Catholics who wanted nothing to do with our gospel would come to us and ask us for any of our young ladies that would be interested in working in their homes. And it was very interesting. You know, well, why? You know, why do you want? Well, we can trust them. Wasn't that a good testimony? The Chilean homes were full of locks. And the lady of the house would walk around with a massive key ring. Every closet was locked. Every, what do you call them? These bureaus. All the bureaus had locks on them. Pantry was locked. Everything was locked. When the maid would go for her day off, she would have inspection at the door. And then this one Jewish lady said, as I asked her, I said, you know, why do you want one of our girls? You don't even like what we believe. She says, it's so nice not to have to have everything in the house locked up. Faithfulness in the small things. Faithful testimony in that which God gives us to do. Diligent labor is the way in which God has first of all decreed that we should receive. We might think, God, I'm not receiving enough. But if we'll be faithful to God, He will meet all of our needs. Diligent labor, then, God's first pathway to receiving. Secondly, creative resourcefulness. I believe the most beautiful example of creative resourcefulness is Proverbs chapter 31, where we have the virtuous woman. And we're not going to read the whole section, but just to give you a couple of ideas. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. She's got her own garden here. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She's diligent. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. This whole chapter is filled with creative resourcefulness on the part of this mother at home taking care of her children. And she has all of this creative resourcefulness round about her task at the home. Ways in which she adds to the income of the home. Her home becomes a center of creativity. I mentioned to you last week the Second Men's Manual, the one on finances. And there's a beautiful illustration there of a mother of two children who had a desire to be able to give more to God. The income through her husband's salary was providing for the home, but she just had a desire to give more. And so she asked the Lord to provide some way of additional income to be able to give to God. And so one day she made up 90 little salads, little containers of salad. She was a good cook. And she went to several of the grocery stores of the area and asked if they would consider selling her product. And they had known her. She'd shopped in most of the stores. And they said, well, we'd like to, but this really isn't the time of year for salads. But that's all right. We'll put them on the counter and see what happens. So she went to several places. When she got home, the telephone was ringing. And she answered it. And one of the grocers said, hey, we've already sold the ones you brought. Can you bring us some more? She said, well, I wasn't really planning on any more till next week. I didn't really want a full-time job out of this. And he said, well, as soon as you can, bring us some more. And then the phone rang again. Her husband came home. The phone was still ringing. And he said, well, isn't there some way that we can take them some more tomorrow? And so she made up some more the next day and took them some more the next day. And God just continued to bless those salads until after a year of this home business, large food chain had given up selling salads because they didn't have much success. They tasted hers. And they asked her if she would consider supplying their food chain with salads. The result of the entire thing was that today, her two sons-in-law and grandson are both managing this large business, interstate business, which is providing her income since her husband has since gone to be with the Lord. All because of this little creativity in the home. How God provides in such marvelous ways. And so we need to be alert to ways in which God would expand our ministry and in that way provide for us. Now this sounds great, and right away we think, "You know, what can I start manufacturing in the house, and it can become an international business, and we'll be floating in money." And we have to confess that sometimes God does it that way. But as we talk about creative resourcefulness, I want to tell you that there's also another way. Now you're not going to like this way as much. The other creatively resourceful way of gaining financial freedom, in which your income matches your outgo and you don't owe anybody anything, financially free, is not only by God dumping some international prosperous business in your lap. The other way is by reducing your expenditures. Now, we don't like that as well, but you know, actually, it's faster. You can get financially free faster by reducing your expenditures than you can by increasing your income. Because when you increase your income, uncle comes and takes part of it. But when you decrease your expenditures, you can't tax that. And there's a beautiful list in the book on finances on suggested ways of decreasing your expenses. And I'd just like to read this list to you. I think it'll be encouraging to you. And you might get some ideas here of things that you'd like to do. Financial freedom. Creative resourcefulness by decreasing your expenditures. One, are there services that you are paying others to do that you could do? Now, you can't do everything. And some of us have learned there are some things we just don't do too well. And we try doing it, we end up calling the expert anyway. Two things. He puts back together the thing that we took apart and then he fixes it. You can't do everything. But there are a lot of things that we can do and save. And as I was thinking about this, I've noted that during the past months and year, in fact, the ladies have had a lot of get-togethers in which they've learned how to do things. And that's exciting. And I wonder if maybe we shouldn't have something like that for men. to teach men a little bit about plumbing and a little bit about electricity and a little bit about carpentry, so that we don't pay $25 for a new washer in our faucet. Quite a few years ago, our toilet wasn't working, and I didn't know what to do with it. I called the plumber. He came in, and I stood there and watched him fix it. I don't know if he liked it or not, but it was my house. I had every right to be there. And so I watched him fix it, and I was amazed how simple it was. That was the last time I had to call him. I fixed it myself after that. Every time the same thing had happened, I knew what to do. And I fixed it myself. Not that we want to put plumbers out of business. There's still plenty of installations to do, and there's still plenty of things that are beyond us that we still have to use them for, but there's no sense paying $25 to put in a part that you get for $2.95. And so I wonder if as a church maybe we need to teach us ourselves as men how to do some of these basic carpentry, plumbing, electrical, and painting and other types of things, so that we can save ourselves a lot of money. There'll still be plenty of work for the professionals to do things that are more professional, and let us do the little things and save ourselves some money. Secondly, do you subscribe to newspapers or magazines that you could do without? Maybe they aren't getting read anyway, or maybe they shouldn't be read anyway. Can you cut down on long-distance phone calls and write letters instead? Who likes to write letters? Well, you might increase some writing abilities. God might make an author out of you or something if you write enough letters. Can you reduce the number of times you eat out? We all like to eat out. But even when it's a special, it usually costs about double what it does to fix it at home. Can you reduce the number of meals that you have each week and spend that time in fasting and prayer? Might want to eat 6 days instead of seven and fast one day and save that money. Are there possessions that you're not using that you could sell? They're just laying around gathering dust. You could get yourself financially free by selling some of those things. Do you have high depreciating items that you should sell? They're losing money fast, and so get rid of them. Are there credit cards that you should destroy? Maybe you're being tempted beyond what you're able. Can you reduce your heating bill or electric bill? I wondered about that one. The less you use, the more they charge you for it. But anyway, there might be some way of decreasing that one. Does your family pet require excessive time or money? Do you belong to clubs which require high fees or dues? Can you reduce medical and dental bills by practicing preventive medicine? Can you cut down on your driving and do more walking? Do you spend an excessive amount of time or money on your hobbies? Do you spend money on entertainment or on habits which you should conquer? And so these are just a few of the many ways in which we can gain financial freedom by being creative. Creative in ways of decreasing our expenditures. They used to say a penny saved is a penny earned. That went out. Then it was a dollar saved is a dollar and a half earned. And you can get there a lot faster by cutting down your expenditures. And then thirdly, the third way that to properly receive is by answers to prayer. This is the one we like. Isn't this an exciting one? To see God answer prayer. And I appreciate so much all the illustrations you've given to me. A while back I asked for illustrations on finances, and some of you have done this, and it's been exciting to read these illustrations of how God has blessed in answer to prayer. And one person that had a utility bill that was coming and realized that there was no money to pay for that. This was an unexpected one. You know, we ought to plan for utility bills. They're going to come. But this was a unique situation and an unexpected thing that was coming. And how to pay for that bill? There was no money. You know what the Lord did? The very same day that bill came, and it was a big one, from the same utility company came a refund check of almost the same amount. That was also unexpected. The company paid their own bill. Isn't it thrilling to see the way God does things? Another situation where an insurance bill was due, an unexpected one, and at about the same time, a misplaced check was found. And that almost exactly covered the bill. As I read that one, I thought, misplaced check? You know, wouldn't somebody, you know, discover that in adding up? You know, just all you do is you add up your checkbook and how could you do that? This week I got my statement and went to balance it and wouldn't balance. I figured out why. So I went back over, started adding it up, and our bills, for some reason or other, bills come all at once in the month, so that the account will build up a little bit and then all those bills will come and then down it goes. And so it isn't just every week, you know, because they seem to all come at the same time. And sure enough, during that time when they were all coming, you can't believe this, I found out that I had $100 I didn't know I had. And so I said, well, Lord, I guess that can't happen. Anything can happen. And it's amazing how God can use such simple things to show His power. Now, sometimes God provides ahead of time. One person mentioned how they had gone to visit some relatives. And in the process of flying to visit those relatives, the flight schedule was changed. And they were forced to go a different way. But in the changing of that flight schedule, when they got back home again, there was a refund due. And so they went to the ticket office of the airline and got the refund and kind of thought, you know, I wonder what this is for. A day or two later, the car broke down. Unexpected repair bill. Almost the same amount as the refund from the airline. And so sometimes God provides ahead of time. The important thing when He provides ahead of time is don't spend it till you find out what He provided it for. And just hang on to it and say, God, I want to know what You provided this for. Don't just go out and spend it and say, whoopee, you got some extra cash here to unload. Don't do that. Hang on to it. Find out what God gave it to you for. And sometimes God will use other ways. One person, their car stalled and didn't know what it was, and they checked with a relative who said they'd had the very same problem with their car. They'd taken it in, cost $35 to get it fixed. When they found out what it was only a part that was cost less than $3 and very simple to fix. And so the relative said, you know, don't do anything. When I saw that, I bought an extra one of those. So I'll put it in for you. And so it only cost the $295 or something like that, whatever it was for the part. And so God has so many wonderful ways of providing. He's so gracious in meeting our needs. But we have to learn to wait on Him. Now, if that person had said, my car isn't running, well, what's going to cost, but I've got to have a car, so pull out the chunk of plastic and get it fixed. Goes on the plastic card, and I won't see it till the end of the month. The end of the month comes, and then we start praying, God, I need the money. And we wonder why God doesn't bring the money. And God said, I wanted to fix it for you, and you wouldn't give me a chance. And so we need to learn to wait on God. You know, the flesh is so impatient. That's why they say, fly now and pay later. You want a new chair? Put it on the charge card. Enjoy it now and pay for it later. Plus 22%. And those things begin to add up, and before you know it, you can't make the payments. That 22% is big money. And it starts to get to become a burden. God wants us to pray about it. But when we pray about it, do you know what that means? When we pray about it, we're saying, God, whenever you want to provide it, and however you want to provide it is fine with me. We don't like that. We like to plunk down the charge card and say, I want it, and I want it now, and this is what I want. God says, if you're going to see me provide and answer a prayer, you've got to wait for me. Wait for me to do it. That's hard on the flesh. We've got to do it. Wait on Him. Now, if you're just going to sit around and wait, it's going to seem like a long time. That's why God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We don't just say, now God, I need this, so I'm just going to sit here and wait until you give it. It'll seem like a long time. God says, no, don't do that. You get busy and do what I told you to do. Seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek God's face, seek His will, seek to serve Him, seek to please Him, seek to work for Him. Just get busy seeking God and seeking His will and seeking His face and serving Him. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you'll get so excited about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all of a sudden you'll find out, hey, marvelous way that God provided. It'll seem like no time. Just like Jacob serving Laban for Rachel. Just seemed like no time at all. And so as we commit ourselves to serving God, to seeking Him, then He will answer prayer and He will provide. Sometimes you say, oh no, but who knows how long I'll have to wait? Well, who knows how long you'll have to wait? God knows how long you'll have to wait. A church had voted to put up a new building. In the process of this, they lost their pastor and they called another pastor, and this pastor accepted the call and he came, and as he came to this church, this was already on the books. They had voted to borrow $650,000 to put up a new building. And he pleaded with them. He said, please don't do that. Please don't borrow all that money. Why don't we ask God to provide a church for us? Why don't we ask God to do this so we won't be in debt, and so we won't have this over our head, all this, these payments, and so we won't be limited in our missionary outreach because we're putting so much into a building. Let's ask God to provide it. Well, they were a little perplexed as to what He had in mind. Fine. So he said, let's have a day in which we ask God to provide for our church what we need for a new building. So they had a special day in which everybody was going to bring all that they could towards this new building. And the people were all excited. They thought, why, wouldn't this be great? Tremendous news. This church on one day gathered together $650,000. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it? So they got together that day. Everybody brought their offerings. They counted it up and it was $21,000. Now, $21,000 is a lot of money. But not when you're expecting $650,000. And they were discouraged. And the pastor said, don't be discouraged. Let's keep trusting God. We've obeyed Him now and what we've done. Now let's trust Him for what He's going to do. And the people, I'm sure, many of them thought, how long are we going to have to wait? You know that within about 2 weeks' time, somebody came to that church, said to that pastor, could you use a church building? I bought a piece of land that I want to develop. It's got a church on it that I don't want. If you'll take it off my property, you can have it. Do you know how much it cost to move that church building to the property the church already had? Three guesses. $21,000. And they had their church building. If we'll just trust Him, ask and it shall be given unto you. Do you really want to live debt-free? Then God says, ask and it shall be given unto you. And He gives to us through diligent labor, creative resourcefulness, and answers to prayer. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You this morning that You don't want us to be slaves. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We thank you, Father, that first and foremost, this means freedom from sin. Freedom from a lost eternity in hell. And Father, this morning, if there should be in our midst any who are not saved and who are in the bondage of sin, and if they should die this morning, they know they would not go to heaven. They know they would spend eternity in hell. We pray that even this morning they would cry out. And the promise is there, ask and it shall be given unto you. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we pray, Father, that even this morning they would call out on the name of the Lord and be saved, delivered from the bondage of their sin, and made free in Christ Jesus from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, to be able to walk pleasing to you. And then we thank you, Father, that as we come to know you as our Savior, are brought into the family of God, you want us to live free. Free indeed. Free from the bondage of financial pressures. And so we pray you would teach us as a people to know how to be diligent in labor, not just to get away with what we can, or not just to think that what we're doing isn't worthwhile, but to diligently labor, to be faithful in whatever you've given us to do. And you will provide. Help us to be creatively resourceful. Thank you for our young mothers and for their faithfulness and with their boys and girls. And we pray you would continue to teach the women of our church creative resourcefulness as they've been learning. And for our men as well, Father, that we might be creatively resourceful. And you'd teach us, Father, also what it is to be able to wait on you in prayer, to ask, and then to wait and to see how you want to solve our financial problems, to free us, that we might be a free people, free to be able to send out missionaries, free to be able to support the gospel, free to be able to give out Bibles, free to be able to carry on the work of God, because you freed us from financial bondage and we're able to serve you with our money. In Jesus' name, amen.